Hey, good morning, everybody. My name's Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us. If you're a guest, thank you for being here. If you're watching online, today's going to be an awesome day. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. That's what we're going to be at today. And we are in just the middle of this season of wandering in the wilderness during the month of October and looking at what does God have for us and what is the purpose of the different moments and seasons of wandering that we may be going through, a chance to trust God in different ways, a chance to understand why do we have these thorns in our lives and what is God teaching us in the middle of it. And today we're jumping into one final message for today. We're going to look at one of my favorite Bible characters, which is David in the Old Testament. And his, we're calling the wilderness of waiting. This is a message for anyone who's just waiting on things to be different. You're waiting on direction in your life. You're waiting on a relationship to be fixed or to be changed. You're waiting for healing. You're waiting for an answer from God. Look, waiting is the worst, isn't it? I mean, no one likes waiting. It's the reason we avoid certain stores is because we know the lines are going to be long. When we're going through a drive-thru and we see all the cars, we're like, I'm not waiting. I don't got time for that. I'm going somewhere else. It's the reason why on Friday and Saturday nights, a lot of times we don't go to restaurants because we know that the wait is going to be really long. It's the reason when we're at the doctor's office, we are frustrated because it's just taking too long. I mean, just yesterday, I was sitting on my couch. I'm watching football, and I've got my computer open, and I'm going through the sermon, just kind of reading through it. And I had to call T-Mobile during that moment, and I was waiting for them to help me fix something on one of my phones. And I get the message of a representative will be with you in 30 minutes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I don't have time for that. And I'm reading the sermon. Like, okay, all right. I need to figure out why am I so frustrated about waiting? Some of you guys are waiting for the service to be over. You know what I mean? Like, you got other things going on. Amen. Someone say amen. Oh, let's don't do that. All right. So, I mean, we are not very good at waiting. Well, 3,000 years ago, there was another guy, David, who actually understands maybe more than we do of what it means to wait. I want you to picture his life. When he was 12 years old, he was actually anointed as the future king of Israel. At 15 years old, he goes and kills Goliath. But he didn't actually take the throne until he was 30. So what happened between all those incredible moments in Scripture and him actually taking the throne? You see, David was anointed as the future king, but before anyone called him King David, God led him out into the wilderness. And it wasn't to punish him, it was actually to prepare him for something different. You see, there was a previous king who was not ready for the moment. The previous guy was named Saul. He was actually the very first king of Israel. And I want us to look at his life just for a minute to see how he was not prepared for the moment. But Saul was a pretty awesome character. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 9, we learn about this guy. Here's what it says. And some of you guys are going to relate to this. Saul was the most handsome man in Israel. He was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. I can't relate to that. But you guys, I mean, he was the man. Every woman wanted to be with him. Every guy wanted to be like him. It's like some of you guys, every one of us is, when we were little, elementary school, we had a PE class. We get out there and your PE coach says, all right, we're going to play kickball. And you are team captains. Y'all come up here and you guys are going to pick. And so if you've ever been the team captain, you get up there and you're like, I've got to pick the best person. And you look around, you're like, I choose Saul. Saul is he's the tall guy. He's in fifth grade, but he's already got the mustache going. You know, it looks like he's in high school. Like, I want that guy. He's way better than anybody else. This is who he was. Saul seemed like the best choice. He had all the charisma. He had the confidence. He ends up wearing and leading with his crown. But here's the problem. He had no character. He had no character. You see, Saul was promoted quickly to be king, but he was prepared poorly for the position. He wasn't ready. And when things got difficult, he fell apart. In fact, I want to give you a couple examples of it. One time he was leading his army and things were not going well, and he was scared and he was nervous, and Samuel, this guy, he's the prophet during those times, and Samuel is the guy who was leading religiously the people of Israel, and yet Saul, who was the king, he's leading politically and militarily. He tried to take Samuel's place and do Samuel's job. And in this moment, Saul never learned how to be patient in the middle of difficulty. In 1 Samuel 13:9, he's waiting on Samuel to show up. In fact, Samuel said, "Hey, I want you to wait 7 days and I'll show up. I know you're about to be in this battle and things are not going well, but I want you to wait on the Lord." And here's what happens. It says that Saul demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Now, that was a huge no-no. Like, it's not something you would do. He didn't care what was going on. He didn't care what God had told him to do. He rushed into the middle and did something he wasn't supposed to do. He didn't know how to be patient, even as the king. He also never recognized the value of humility. And sometimes when everything is handed to you in life, you don't know humility. You're not a humble person. And that's exactly what was going on with Saul. After disobeying God another time, when God said, "Here's how I want you to go into battle and here's what I want you to do," Saul's like, "I've got better ideas, God. I mean, I'm the king. I'll handle it from here." And so he goes and he does his own thing. And here's what happens after he actually has victory. In chapter 15, verse 12, it says that Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. So instead of giving God praise and honor, he's like, "Look at me." He did not know what it was like to be humble. He was not ready to be king because he skipped this season of preparation in his life, and he was just promoted quickly. Waiting wasn't a part of his life. It wasn't something that he liked to do. And so what happened is he became a self-made man instead of a God-made man. And he got ahead of God. Anybody relate to that? Like, when you get ahead of God, you know what that's like? The problem is, when you get ahead of God, you're headed for a downfall. We want the result without the preparation. We want the position without the hard work of working and preparing for that moment. What happens is we just get tired of waiting on God. We're like, "God, I got this from here. I want things to happen. Things need to move forward in my life. I don't know why this is stalling out and taking so long, so I'm just going to take the reins and control, and I'm going to do what I want to do." And look, that's dangerous. That's scary. And we see this, what happened in Paul, when Saul's life falls apart because he got ahead of God. Towards the end of his life, Saul, it says that God's favor left him. Which is kind of a scary thing, because at the beginning, God actually put his hand on Saul's life and said, "You're going to be the first king of Israel, and I'm going to put my hand on you." But Saul, he did not listen to God. And all of a sudden, God's hand goes away. God's favor goes away, which is a terrible, scary. No one wants to be in that position. Yet that's where Saul was. God's favor left him. And then he went crazy. Anybody know anybody crazy? Like he went crazy, okay? He went absolute crazy. And he got crazy jealous of David to the point where he spent all of his resources and energy chasing after David, trying to kill him. And the sad part is that towards the end of Saul's life, he gets surrounded by the Philistines and he's killed. Look, when Saul was promoted quickly, it was easy to see that he was not prepared for that moment. But David, on the other hand, his story is completely different. You see, David was promoted slowly, but he was actually prepared exceptionally for what God had for him. I want you to imagine you're David. Okay, so you're 16-year-old David. You just got your driver's license, all right? You're ready for this world. You've already been anointed when you were 12 as the future king. Man, you're already famous for killing Goliath last year. I mean, the NIL money is coming in. Like, you are ready. You are set for this life. And instead of becoming king, you actually have to go and be a servant in the palace of King Saul for 7 years. For 7 years. And then after that 7 years, you and Saul have this breakup moment, and you got to run for your life out in the wilderness for another 7 years. These moments, this season, almost 15 years of his life, after he was anointed and after he killed Goliath, he had to wait. He had to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises in his life. But there was a purpose behind that. It was actually a season, not a punishment, but a preparation by God. Let me prove it to you. As a boy, he didn't become king immediately. Instead, he learned how to be a courageous shepherd. Through his situation and his livelihood and the things that he had to do as just this lowly shepherd boy, God was preparing him to one day be a shepherd for his people. In 1 Samuel 17, here's what David says about his experience when he was little. How many of you guys could say this when you were 12 years old, right? I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I mean, that is a pretty cool masculine statement right there that a teenager is saying. He's saying, I can do this because I've spent a ton of my life out in the wilderness by myself with these animals in this lowly position. Even though I'm anointed king, the future king of Israel, I'm learning how to be a courageous shepherd. Also, when he ended up serving Saul in the palace, he learned how to put other people first. And that's something that usually doesn't just happen. It's not something that we just grow up where we're little, where we're selfish by nature. To put other people first takes testing. It takes training. It takes growing. And God did this for David. 1 Samuel 16, it says that, so David, he went to Saul and began serving him. He didn't take over, he began serving him. And it says that Saul loved David very much. Everything was going great, and David actually became his armor bearer, which is an incredible position to be in. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, when Saul was having these crazy fits, mental fits, he would call in David, and says David would play the harp for him. And so he had this special position of not being the man, but being the servant. And God was teaching him and growing him in the middle of this moment of him waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled in his life. Here's another one. While he was running, while he was hiding, while he was being chased and he was scared for his life, he actually learned how to lead broken people. And to be king someday, he actually had to recognize that, look, when you're king, when you're in the position of power and authority, there are broken people all around you, and you're broken yourself. And to lead all these people takes a lot of courage and empathy towards them. And here's what happens. It says in 1 Samuel 22:2, it says, then others began coming to him. When he was out in the wilderness, when he's hiding out, it wasn't him by himself. Look at the people that showed up. Men who were in trouble or in debt, who were just discontented. Now, that's not a good recipe for a great group of people. I mean, it was like the people that were struggling and hurting the most. They came to David. It says, until David was the captain of about 400 men, God was preparing him to lead broken people. Also, while he was waiting in the wilderness, here's a big thing that David had to figure out. How to actually lean on God. Guys, it's so easy to just do it on your own. Your own strength, your own charisma, your own knowledge and wisdom. But when your life is a hot mess and you feel broken, sometimes, some of you guys know how it feels. Like you have no one else to turn to but God. And this is exactly what David found himself in over and over again. Here's what happened one time when his men were fighting against Saul's men. They had these skirmishes all the time, and they would fight, and then they would run, and they would fight, and they would run. And there was this moment in 1 Samuel 23, it says, but David, he learned of Saul's plan. He told Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod, which was this ceremonial dress they would put on when they went before the Lord to pray. And he said, and asked the Lord what he should do. And this was David's prayer. He said, oh Lord, God of Israel, please tell me what I should do. Look, that is completely opposite of what Saul did. Before he acted, David learned to lean on God and to trust him, and Saul never did. Let me ask this to you. Any of you feel like you're in a wilderness of waiting? Like you're in this season where You're waiting on God to respond to your prayers. You're waiting on God to move and to fix what's broken in your life. You're waiting on things to be better. You're waiting on things to be different. And you know God's promises. Like, you read in scripture, you're like, God, you promised me all these good things in my life. If I trust you, and if I lean on you, and you're waiting for those things to happen. Look, maybe waiting in the wilderness isn't punishment, but it's actually God preparing you. It's preparation. If we can figure that out and understand that, it helps us to pause and to trust God in that moment. Look, perhaps God is preparing something in you that you really need. Maybe your character needs to grow. Maybe your heart needs to have some scales chipped away. Maybe your heart needs to actually become more like God's heart. You see, after David was king, this is something that God said about David. Like, later on in his life, God said, he is a man after my own heart. Where does that come from? Does that mean that David always was a man after God's own heart? Or was it something that actually God was working and building in his life? You see, before David was ever anointed, God came to Samuel and said, the prophet said, hey, I want you to go. I know Saul's king right now. I want you to go and anoint this new king. And I want you to go to David's family, and I want you to choose him. I know there's all these other brothers, and David was like the very last in the line, and he is last to be picked for a kickball, okay? I mean, he's not the one you would normally pick. And he says, I want you to pick him. Here's what God says to Samuel. He said, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. Talking about Saul, okay? He says, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. I think what actually God is saying here is that God's saying, I look at the heart that I'm shaping. Because David was not like this perfect 12-year-old kid. I mean, he's going through puberty. He's figuring things out. Like, he doesn't have wisdom. Like, he's got a lot to learn, okay, in this moment. And yet God said, I want you to look at someone's heart. I'm looking at his heart. In fact, I'm looking at the heart that is moldable and shapeable, and I'm going to do something incredible in his life. You see, it took a long waiting for David's heart to be shaped and changed. David had to watch sheep for years, right? He had to get a servant's job instead of quickly becoming the king. He was running for his life. He was eating whatever he could find. He's hiding out in caves. He's sleeping out in the wilderness. I mean, it was not a good thing. But God, in the middle of that wilderness, this time of him waiting for this promises to be fulfilled, what happened is God was preparing his heart. Another way to say this is God was building spiritual maturity in his life. And look, spiritual maturity doesn't come when you've got everything made, when everything is easy. Spiritual maturity comes when you've been in the wilderness and you're waiting on God. You got these thorns for a reason, and God is asking you to lean on him and to trust him. And you're being tempted, but instead of giving in temptation, you're leaning and trusting in the Lord. You're leaning on scripture, and all of a sudden you build this spiritual maturity in your life. You see, God was teaching David how to have the heart of a king, how to have the temperament of a king, how to have the humility of a king. God was working those things out in David's life. And for David, the wilderness came before the crown. I think that's really important to recognize, that it didn't happen at the very beginning and all of a sudden then he goes to the wilderness. No, the wilderness came before the crown. And look, that may be your story too. In fact, that's my story as well, of God saying, look, not yet, not yet. I'm still working in your life. I'm still doing something in your life before this situation gets fixed, before you find yourself in the position that I have for you. I'm still working on you. Trust me. Wait on me. Look, in the wilderness, what God was doing is he was taking this immature heart that David had, and he was shaping it and molding it into a heart that was fit for a king. The same for us. Look, when you trust in Jesus and you put your faith in him, the Bible says that you become a new creation. In a way, you get this new heart We call that in Christian circles being justified, being made right with God. In fact, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You get like this, you get this new heart. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. But let me just tell you this. It is not a heart after God's own heart yet, okay? There needs what we call sanctification, meaning that you are made, yes, you are made right with God, but you also need to be made like God. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, that for the rest of your life, if you're a believer in Jesus, he wants to mold you and shape your heart to be like his heart. Imitate God, it says, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So live a life filled with love and follow the example of Christ. Look, maybe that's what God's doing in your life. He's shaping your heart. And look, your heart's not going to get shaped the way he wants it shaped if you're living in the palace. Maybe he's got you in the wilderness. And he's saying, hey, I've got a purpose. I've got a reason for this. Trust me in this moment. Look, we've been going through this wilderness season. And I want to give you just one final advice from God's word here. I don't know what your wilderness is. You know what it is, but don't waste it. The saddest thing we can do is waste our wilderness moment. So look, don't waste it while you're in it. The way you waste it when you're in it is you ignore what God is actually doing. Instead, you need to let God work and wait on God. Wait on him to show you and reveal to you what he is up to. Look, it's not wasted time when you wait on God. In fact, I might say that that's probably the most critical time in your life, where God may shape you and form you. Look, if you have someone in your life you look up to, you're like, man, that person is a spiritually mature person. The truth is that they probably went through some serious wilderness moments. Well, they leaned on God and they were changed because of the situation and the moment that they found themselves in. They were changed when there was tragedy in their life. They were changed when they had this years upon years of giving in to sin, and all of a sudden, God transformed them and got them out of something they never thought they would be able to get out of. Look, those are different kind of people. It doesn't happen because everything was great. It happens because God walked them through the wilderness. So don't waste those moments. But some of you would say, look, I am on the other side of these wilderness moments. But here's my other encouragement to you. Don't waste it. Don't waste once you're through it. Don't waste the wilderness once you're through it. The way you do that is you forget what he did. You forget what he did. And you don't stay the person that you came out of the wilderness. You forget how God had changed you and how he was there for you. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I got this on my own again. And God's like, no, man, I took you through this wilderness for a purpose. And one of the reasons he does that is so that we can bring glory to him and point other people to Jesus. Look, some of you have gone through some of the most terrible wilderness moments that I don't wish on anybody. But God's still sovereign over it. Amen. He still has a purpose for it. Amen. And one of the purposes is so that you can help other people. Amen. In fact, I would say that's God working through you to help them. Amen. Sometimes we hang on to that and say, and move on. And we're forgetting what God had done. And God's saying, look, other people need to hear that as well. They need to be helped through it. One of the greatest examples of this is that David, he learned from his wilderness. He becomes king. All the ups and downs, this long period of decades of him serving as the king. And towards the end of his life, all of a sudden he found himself, not in the palace, he found himself as an old dude running for his life in the wilderness again. Because he had a bunch of kids. And one of his kids named Absalom. And Absalom wanted to become king. He wanted to be like Saul more than he wanted to be like his dad, David. And he has this plot. There's this coup that happens. And David has to get off his throne and run for his life. But when he had to do that, he was a changed guy already. His heart was like God's heart. He had been completely changed through everything that God had been doing in his life. And something happened in this moment. He said something that you and I have read over and over again. Here's what he said while he's, as an old guy, running for his life. He says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. How does someone who's running for their life as an old guy, they got arthritis, they're a bad hip, like, I mean, it's just like, man, I should be retired now. What's going on? He's running for his life, and he can say this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why? For you're close to me. You're right beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and they comfort me. Even more, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, even when my enemies are my very own kids. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows with blessing. He says this, surely, this is crazy, while he's being pursued, he says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Who says that when they're running for their life? Someone who has learned from their wilderness of who God is and his faithfulness. And he says, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. He was changed because of his wilderness moments. But look, let's be honest. No one likes the wilderness. My encouragement to all of us is don't rush the process. God is up to something. Don't waste the waiting. Instead, let God work on you so that he can also work through you. In fact, I would say that is the purpose of our wilderness. Let's pray. Lord, you are good even when things aren't. And so, God, we trust you in the middle of it. I pray for everyone in this room, everyone listening online who's in a wilderness season right now, God, that you would be with them. They would sense your presence. God, you would reveal to them the purpose and the reason. Why, God, am I going through this? Why is my family going through this? I hate it. I don't like it. I want things to be different. But I pray that our prayer is, I trust you, God. I wait on you. Help me to lean on you more. Help me to grow closer to you in the middle of this moment. And when you get me to the other side of that dark valley, I'll give you all the praise. I'll never forget what you've done. And I will tell other people about it. And I'll be changed. My heart will be changed. Help us, God, to never forget the wilderness and the purpose and the reason you have us go through them. Help us to trust you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.